Yes, Bob.
How you feeling?
Fine.
I've just been on a long trip, and I want to come down one day next week to the church and get you up in a half hour meeting from Cotto.
Fine. Good.
I worked something out with my George Bundy story.
Oh, yeah?
I'm calling you primarily because of this precious situation. I think it would not be to your best interest to have that public place very long. I see that Don's not coming. Don and I can have a talk today. And Doug's announced he's going to leave. And I think the world situation is such that vacancy over there for any length of time. It holds a lot of fuel on the sort of thing which the law has been foolishly raised in some of the other countries. And might be some real trouble.
Yes.
Now, I've been thinking about this thing at great length. I don't know whether you've made up your mind about somebody else or not.
Pretty well, Bob. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I have. My problem is that people like to talk instead of think, and you can't announce until you get everything cleared up, and I hope to have another FBI finished in a couple of days, and I can't talk until then, and everybody can write and think, and Doug has been talking ever since last November with great glee about his leaving, and other people have been talking about Don coming, primarily Doug. That has never been a fact. That has not been a fait accompli, and Doug has done us a very great disservice by his partying and his white tie dinners every goddamn night, but I can't do anything about it, and I can't really act until I've got some things cleared up, because I could create a vacancy for a good deal longer time. So that's what my problem is. And any way in the world that you can use any influence with any of your financial friends or Doug himself to quit giving out interviews about when he's leaving and how he's leaving and why he's leaving and all this other stuff would be gratefully received. I spend about a third of the time I spend on Treasury, I spend explaining what they put out over there that's not exactly correct. And when we get ready to have a balanced payment meeting, why, there's a damn good story in the New York Herald Tribune, and the bankers all act on it two days before we ever get together. It's a very difficult thing, but he's a banker, and he's a Republican, and he's a good friend, but he's having to change life when he decided that he wanted off 4 or 5 months and get this tax ruling of Dillon Reed settled. By God, and he's got more stuff stirred up. I spend half the time talking to senators about the Dillon Reed ruling. So if he just quietly do like he normally does and has for 10 years, submit a letter of resignation, give the president the right to accept it, and then release both of them without going on the social circuit. And he and his wife haven't missed a party single night, got every cabinet officer attending them. Everybody prayed not to attend them. So I'm just doing the best I can with it, and I've got a few Negroes mixed in, and a few Jews in Jerusalem, and a few men in Vietnam, and the strike's going on there, and Don's outfit talking in New York, and Wall Street Journal speculating there, and New York Times, and senators coming down with their ideas, and a good many congressmen, they've got their feelings on the monetary thing. A lot of them think that the Federal Reserve is tightening things up too much, and they got 4% bills now, and I got one friend I've held off for 10 days. It's a good friend of yours. Do you know how to handle him? I'd like to delegate him to you, Mr. Patman. He wants an audit of all the Federal Reserve, and he wants to move in on them, and Albert Gore was in yesterday, and all this is provoked, and they got a good goddamn can of worms stirring because one man talks.
Well, you just can't have talkers. You've got to have people who've got, and particularly that crazy. ought to be just as quiet as the Defense Department. Because you're dealing with dynamite over there. I had a rule when I was there that nobody could give out a conference but had two people with them. And if they didn't have any missed posts, I think you'll remember in my day there, in fact, you never heard the phrase. And when we did do anything, whether it was right or wrong, we were all out in the open about it, except for the Congress. Had the meeting exercise, we could send up this hot potato of the 4% interest meeting was called until we had the leaders down in the White House. Told them about it on both sides.
Wait just a minute. Yeah, well, we'll...
Let me just read you a list. And I'm not trying to inquire about who you've got in mind or change your mind in the story. Here's some people that I've thought about. May or may not be on your list. One of them is John Loeb. He has to get out of his firm without everything he's got.
I have looked into that and talked about it and consulted about it and come to the conclusion that couldn't have. There's hardly any human that we haven't thought about that's speculative. And my problem is it takes me 60 days. So apropos of what you've said, I can't get a report, a full field on FBI, and if something shows up in everybody, whether it's their property or something else, in less than 60 days. Now, I've really got 20, and I'm hoping that this one works out all right, and I know there'll be a good many doubts and questions and hell raisers, but I'm prepared to just meet them head on and go on with it. I'd be very interested in who you had, only from the standpoint of seeing the ones that I had considered.
Well,
but I did consider John Loeb and did talk to some people about him and came to the conclusion that that wasn't a thing to do.
The other people I've got on the list, David Kendall.
Yes, I've talked to him and considered him very seriously and talked to people out there about him and some of his rather close friends, but they didn't feel that I ought to do that.
Rudolph Peterson, I've talked about.
Yes, I've had him interviewed and given him good deal of consideration, and they say in the field of international finance he's pretty much a freshman.
President, he may be, but he sure is more of a professional than most of the bankers you can find.
Yeah.
In the world.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of these fellows who get fine reputations for banking college and that sort of thing are these presidents of big banks, and they never wrote a piece about money in their life.
Well, they tell me he didn't either, Bob. They say he takes a couple of good economists, liberal speeches, and rather makes them, but his operation's a good deal different from the background that you had needed and would use there and that. But he has two or three problems. One is his age. I believe he's 61. Well, yes, we've considered him and analyzed him and taken his speeches and gone over them. And matter of fact, he was the number one on my list for a while.
Another one that I think Aaron's eliminated is Jeff McNeil. Yep, the Florida boy. But the court handed down a decision yesterday that this merger of the Manchester Mental Trust was a violation of the criminal trust.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I guess he's got his hands full, and that's how it's going to be a can of worms. Another, of course, is David Rockefeller. David's got a lot of problems.
They just say it would be just a complete, it'd be a hell of a problem both ways. Nelson has a good deal of ambitions, and he's there, and that would embarrass him. The Republicans in the Congress wouldn't like it, and
he'd be on the bottom of my list.
And the Democrats would raise hell because Nelson'd be running against us, and everything happened, they'd say he's responsible for it, and everybody likes him, but they don't think he'd be available anyway.
Last suggestion I have is to talk to Bill Martin about moving over there from the Fed.
I've seriously considered that. Talked to to a good many people about it and come in with two problems. One of them, he would have a pretty good amount of already generated opposition by the folks that nagged at you and nagged all of us, nagged at me every day in the Congress, and you'd have a problem over there. And the question is whether it justifies that shift and that change, or whether or not he's not reasonably valuable where he is, and the way he's been operating, the way he's been functioning, has permitted me to more or less blunt and nullify what I've gotten from the Hill. But they are wanting to move in, and someday that's going to be awfully explosive. And they have chairman of committees now, and they have most people don't know that you got better than 2-to-1 House representatives, and most of the new men are got their ideas about money. A good many of them are probably one-termers, and you've got a good many Gores and Douglases and McGoverns and folks of that type in the Senate than anybody has ever counted on before. The Harry Birds and the Dick Russells are no longer the ones that make up the big block there, and Dirksen's got 34, but he's got a good many Kuechels in his group, about 14 Kuechels and Javitses and folks of that type. So if I can get Martin to where he won't go, he's not about to go for any loose money policies, and if they don't convince him that we've got to always raise interest rates and go up some more, the AFL-CIO's in yesterday and says you don't have any trouble jumping bills from 350 to 395. But you just have hell jumping the minimum wage from $50 a week to $60 a week. And we want $1.25 to $2, but we'll take $1.50. And why is it the banker always gets his raise, but the worker never gets his? I spent 2 hours with them, and I pointed out to him that we're about 4%, and he thinks it'd be essentially stable there if we'll behave ourselves. But if they go to kicking off everything, God knows where we'll end, and I have that every day. And I think that there's merit in the suggestion that he be carefully considered, and we have, and I've about come to the conclusion that I want to get someone that can work with him and buy him, try to get along with him. And I had a meeting with Kermit Gordon, who is the ablest man in the government except McNamara, and Gardner Ackley, who's a good, solid fellow. He's not as brilliant as Heller, but he's a pretty good man and careful. And Doug Dillon, who I think is very knowledgeable in his field, and I think done an excellent job. And Martin yesterday for over 2 hours. They all had an hour in my office, then we had an hour at lunch. And I would gather that they are pretty much in agreement. Now, I didn't go over the vacancy with them because I just found out, Bob, in this job that you either got to sweep your floors every morning for what they pick up off of them, or you got to watch your phones every second. And I really don't tell my wife a good many things, and I still read about them. And I don't know whether they got spies around or whether they pick them up from Yugoslavs or somebody else, but you just cannot say a word. Don Cook gave me a message last Friday that he says nobody knew but him and the man that delivered it and myself, and I didn't tell one human being. And by God, within 3 hours I was being queried about it from the press. Now, I just don't know how those things happen, and it wasn't an oral message. It's one I put in my pocket and still carried there. So I just don't know how to avoid those things.
I don't think there's any way to avoid them in the first place. And second place, I think as many press people as they've got out there, they don't have any hesitancy at all in just coming out and picking something out of thin air and saying that it was lying on reliable sources. And every once in a while, they'll hit. Now, as I told you once before, I went to a campus meeting. There's nobody that can pass on the budget. paper picture was in the New York Times the following day.
Yeah.
He kept changing.
Yeah, that's right. That happens all the time, Doug.
You weren't 24 hours old, and you're exactly right. Pick out a half dozen.